The Tom Woods Show, episode 1582.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, the 2020 Contra Cruise promises to be the best one ever. Not only are we being joined by Dave Smith and Scott Horton, not only is there going to be a roast of Dave Smith, but we're also going to be joined by Phil Labonte, vocalist for the band All That Remains. Get the details and book your cabin at ContraCruise.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. All right, I got four things I want to talk to you about today, and they are, I guess, pet peeves of mine when it comes to libertarians. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, and you may disagree with some of these things. Maybe you think these are virtues. I don't. I think they're extremely annoying, and I think most of you are going to agree with me. And if you don't, I want you to maybe rethink your life a little bit, okay, because I'm right about this. On this, I may be wrong about Andrew Carnegie. I may be wrong about James Polk, but I'm right about this. I know for a fact. So I want to talk about four different things. And the first one is relevant because of the Super Bowl. Now, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I just didn't have any interest in it. I'm not really interested in either team. And I kind of lost interest in football once I went to college. I got really busy and never stopped being busy after that. I did follow the Patriots in the 1980s. I know everybody hates the Patriots these days. But look, if you were a fan of the Patriots in the 1980s, it was pretty punishing. Okay, so this was a long time coming for us. I remember the Super Bowl in 1986, where the Patriots lost 46-10. I remember that vividly. I remember being ahead 3-0 at one point in that game. So I followed that very closely. I followed at that time. I knew Steve Grogan and Tony Eason, the quarterbacks, and Grogan could barely walk with his knees and everything. But somehow they made it work, you know, because they had a great running game. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The point is this: our friend Pete Quinones, who up till recently, he's the artist formerly known as Mance Raider, posted something on Facebook. It probably was not original to him, but it rang true to me so much that I shared it on my own profile page, my own timeline. And it's a guy, it's a drawing of a guy, and he's referring either to the Super Bowl or really to anything that people enjoy. And so it's you can see a certain libertarian type in this guy, who says, "Did you enjoy your bread and circus act, you sheep? You're such a slave. You're not as woke as me and my friends. I don't even have hobbies or enjoy anything because that's what the powers want. So you shouldn't enjoy anything either, you slave." Yeah, and that's perfect. Because yeah, there will be, no matter what it is, if it's widely loved, you will get some libertarian spoil sport who will sit up and say to everybody, "Oh, yeah, that's just what the powers that be want, for you to be distracted by whatever it is, the Super Bowl, whatever, some musical thing, whatever it is, you're not allowed to enjoy it because the state exists, and that means we can't have any pleasures, because all of them are distractions against fighting against the state." Oh, my gosh, people. Anybody acting like this has let the state win. The state's very existence means you can't enjoy yourself, means you can't be a normal person for one day and enjoy something that all the world loves, then you're letting yourself be victimized here. That's an unforced error. You are not forced to act like that. So knock that off. Do we all agree that's irritating? We've all seen this. At least 90% of you have seen this. And that's not good. This is why people can't stand to be around us. And we want to fix that. We want to be the popular people one of these days. We're not going to do it that way, by ridiculing innocent pastimes. Okay, don't do that. And it's tempting to say things like, sports are a waste of time because I don't like sports or I'm not interested in sports, so no one's allowed to be interested in sports because that's stupid. But chances are there's something you're interested in that seems pretty stupid to other people. Okay, maybe you binge watch some show on Netflix that other people think is stupid. Generally, they leave you alone. They have the decency to leave you alone. So you leave them alone. I mean, obviously, as with anything, people can take sports too far and get obsessed with them and place a disproportionate amount of emphasis on and energy in them. I'll grant that. That's true of anything in this world. Sports is not some magically unique phenomenon. Anything can be taken to extremes. So anyway, number one, don't spoil people's fun for no good reason. And then number two, numbers two and three are very closely related. Numbers two and three are see what you can learn from people and don't dehumanize people. And you'd think this would be obvious, but all over the place, there are people who just cannot do this anymore. They cannot. And it's obvious to me, at least, and I think to most people, that this problem has intensified over the past few years to the point where the world of, I always give the example of the television program What's My Line of the 1950s, seems unrecognizable to us. Because on that program, you had people like Bennett Cerf, who was the editor or the publisher at Random House. He was the editor of Atlas Shrugged, as a matter of fact, or at the very least, he had a hand in that process, and he interacted directly with Ayn Rand. Now, he was, by the standards of his day, a left liberal, but he was elegant, sophisticated, well-spoken, charming, just the opposite of everything I associate with left liberalism today, which is completely humorless, boring, predictable, a slave to fashion. He was just a sophisticated, pleasant, interesting person. So anyway, you watch that show and everybody is exquisitely polite and genteel. And you know, there are people who have differing opinions on that show, but they all get along fine. They all get along just fine. But of course, today you all know that you disagree with me, you're a Nazi. You disagree with me, you're a communist. I never called Barack Obama a communist because he obviously wasn't. I mean, I'm just not going to listen to that. He was a center-left part of the establishment. That's all he was. And it's just dumb to use words like that because that's not what those words mean. So he's not a communist, and it's dumb to call him one. So I never did that. You know, so I want to use words that are actually meaningful. Today, there is a whole wing of the libertarian world that throws the word fascist around. Now, some of them are smart enough to know that they're full of it. I mean, some of them are just dumb, and they're not worth your time. Well, none of these people are worth your time. But for some people, it's just flat-out stupidity and ignorance. And they're hurling this word at people whose shoes they are not fit to shine. Others are just wicked people. They're just evil people. I mean, and we have those in the libertarian world. We have those people who, the rhetoric that comes out of their mouths half the time sounds like CIA talking points. I don't understand those people at all, but we have them. We definitely have them. And what we have going on here is a process of demonization, the likes of which I've just never seen. And I think, you all know I have a little bit more sympathy for the right than I do for the left. But I do try to find good people on the left and point them out and give credit where it's due. But I happen to believe that demonization is much, much more common and flows much more naturally from leftism than from the right. Because for the left, politics is all there is. That is partly what makes leftism leftism, is the politicization of all of life, is the idea that there's nothing that is even theoretically beyond politics. Everything is political. So if everything is political, then there's no room for me to acknowledge that you may have some shred of humanity despite your disagreement with me. Politics is everything. So you're my enemy. If you disagree with me, you're not just somebody with an honorable disagreement or who's assessed the evidence differently. You're not like you're somehow not even a person. Like you need to be demonized and dismissed and disparaged and ridiculed out of existence. Now, it's true. I can be tough on people I disagree with. Generally, I'm tough on people who start things with me because they shouldn't be. It boggles my mind that there are total strangers out there who, the vast majority of whom have never heard a single word I've said. They have a little piece of paper with five things that they don't like that somebody told them I said at one point in the past 30 years, and they don't like those five things. They don't know anything about them. They know nothing about the evolution of my thinking, who I am, who I was. They know nothing about this. Couldn't care less, actually. Couldn't care less because they just want to demonize. And it boggles my mind. There are actually total strangers out there who think I'm an evil person. Because their friend says, Woods is a fascist. Can you believe there are people who say that about me? You remember how the fascists were always emphasizing non-aggression? Remember how that was central to their... It's insanity. I would not do that, and I do not do that to my opponents. I don't call people who aren't Marxists, Marxists. I don't call people who are not communists, communists. However, people on the other side do not reciprocate. Okay, they are not, let's say, as fair-minded and reasonable as your host here. So I do believe that this phenomenon happens much more often coming from people on the left, where the other side is demonized. I mean, by the way, you don't actually have to take my word for that. Look at how many times libertarians go out of their way to say, look at this great person on the left. You know, like let's say it happens to be Glenn Greenwald or Caitlin Johnstone or people like that. And we go out of our way to highlight those people's work and retweet them and support them. Now think about the reverse. Now think about people on the left. How often do they go out of their way to say, this is a terrific libertarian and we really should support this person and good work on the part of this person? Not even, I mean, look at Rand Paul. Rand Paul goes around speaking at historically black colleges, talking about criminal justice reform. He's anti-war. He's done, you know, plenty of stuff that you would think a reasonable person on the left would say, well, you know, I think Rand Paul is really, really backward when it comes to the economy and some other things. But geez, you got to give credit where it's due. He really, really has distinguished himself from the Republican pack in taking these particular positions. Of course not. You never hear that. You never hear that. Instead, you hear, I wish his neighbor had actually killed him. Or good thing his neighbor beat him up. I mean, that's what you see all over his Twitter feed. Okay. See, that's not how we act. So this is not Woods inventing things because he doesn't like leftists. That really happened. When you see the way they treated Rand Paul, it proves my point times a thousand. Here's the classic guy. They should be saying, wow, that's really, isn't that interesting about Rand Paul? That despite things about him that I just can't stand, how interesting that he represents a different part of the Republican Party. And he's not one of them has shown the slightest bit of curiosity. And yes, I know a handful, but it's a handful. It's not like half the libertarian world cheers on a good leftist when we find one. So I like that we're capable of doing this. And I wish we were more capable of doing it. So for instance, there are people out there who have, you know, who are not in the same, don't run in the same libertarian circles I do, but I respect them very much. And I bring them on my program and they don't reciprocate and I never hear from them again. But okay, I'm going to be a good person regardless. Does not matter to me. I'm just going to be a good person. I just think this is a good thing to encourage. The idea that whatever faction you're in, whatever wing it is, we're all still human beings. We're all still trying to make our way in this world the best we can. And we've all got things we're struggling with. And geez, to add to that, attacking people unreasonably and absurdly and not at least trying to find some good in somebody else. Well, you know, the person is good about this, or wow, I haven't seen an article as good on this subject as I have from this person. Why can't we do that? Why is that so wrong? There's somebody, I can't say his name because I don't want to call attention to him, who's, I mean, the things he says about your host here are so ridiculous, right? I mean, it's so ridiculous. And I don't know this person. I'm never going to meet this person. It doesn't matter. But I will say that once in a while, it does kind of bother me. You know, and Michael Malice will say to me, why do you care that complete strangers have some false opinion of you? Because Malice will say, look, I know you better than anybody in the world, basically. And I know for a fact that you don't believe the things they accuse you of. I know this. So I get that, you know, that it's wrong of them. But why should that be a big deal? These are strangers. And I guess in a way, it's partly because they're strangers. Like, I don't even know you, you know, and on the basis of like no words of mine, it's always, well, he knew this guy who knew this other guy, or he went to this thing, or he interviewed somebody and I don't like that person. I mean, it's always stuff like that. I'll stand by things I say. And there are some things I've said that I shouldn't have said. And, you know, back when I wasn't a libertarian in particular. Yeah, well, obviously, I don't agree with those things anymore. But this is like more than half a lifetime ago at this point. And at that time, I had the honesty to say, in my own mind, you know, I think I've been wrong about this issue. I think I better change my mind. And so I did. You know, I mean, it's extremely, let's say, bad form to keep. I mean, imagine you had a child, you know, who had some real awkwardness, you know, that child just fought and fought and fought to conquer and then finally conquered it. And then you spend all your time saying, you know, you were really awkward 10 years ago. I can't get over how awkward you were. You were so awkward. Here's a picture of you being awkward. I mean, what kind of a savage would do that, right? Why would you do that? A normal person does not do that. Anyway, so there's this fellow, you know, and he's, I think there's something wrong with him, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not saying that to be nasty. I think there's genuinely something wrong with him. And he, you know, he's not been that nice to me. And I had a friend of mine call me up and say, look, I get that that person should not say those things, and it's an outrage. But I've been very close with this person for a number of years, and I'll tell you the following things about him. And this person also said, and I called up this person and spoke to him about you. And so after I heard this story about, you know, these things I didn't know about this other person, I said, well, you know, despite the way I've been treated, I understand why you'd be friends with this person. I mean, these are really good and heroic things this person did, and I acknowledge and respect those. And then it occurred to me, because the person did not reveal to me the nature of the conversation with this person that we were talking about, it occurred to me, there's no way this person said to our mutual friend the same things about me. Just no way. It's constitutionally impossible for that person to have done that. I felt that I was able to say, here is a fellow human being, and here are some things I didn't know, and doesn't make what the person has done to me right, but it makes me say, okay, I get why somebody could be in his right mind and say the person still has something to be said for him. But I think because this person is on the hard left, I just don't see that he can do the same for me. I have to be a demon in his eyes. I want to be proven wrong, and this mutual friend of ours says he or she will continue pursuing. I don't really care. I mean, at this point, I just mute the person and ignore him. But I don't think I'm going to be proven wrong. So I think this is a problem among leftists and among left libertarians, the demonization problem. It's a big, big problem. They don't all do it. The scholarly ones don't do it, but some of them do. And it's a terrible thing. I don't see what's so hard about saying, you know, that Woods is a pretty smart guy, but man, is he wrong about A and B. Why is that so hard? Like, I can say Roderick Long has said and done some things that I find bewildering, but I think he's a brilliant guy who's made some important contributions, and I'm glad he's around. Was that so hard? Why is it easy for our side to say that and apparently impossible for the other side? Impossible. But it's not just an internal libertarian thing. I mean, it's all across America. You can't say, well, I don't agree with that guy on a lot of things, but that's a really good stance that person took. It just, the demonization stuff is just, like, we can't even think of another person as being really human. We have to dehumanize the person. And maybe I sound like I'm a sap or something. But, you know, for a guy who has a kind of tough guy persona on social media, and, you know, I smash people in debates and all that, and I make a big deal out of that. You know, for all that, I really don't relish conflict. I don't go out of my way looking for it. You never hear me come on here and say, hey, you know, I woke up this morning and thought, how can I attack such and such person? It's not who I am. Don't want to do that. All right. I have more grievances, let's say, but let me interrupt myself just for a second to say that this election season, thanks to C-SPAN, you can go deep, direct, and unfiltered. C-SPAN's campaign 2020 differs from other political coverage for one simple reason. It's C-SPAN. C-SPAN brings you an unfiltered view of politics, so you can see the biggest picture for yourself and make up your own mind. C-SPAN has been wonderful to me over the years, by the way. I've been on at least half a dozen times, and I've been able to get my message out to the public absolutely unfiltered. On C-SPAN, you'll find in-depth, uninterrupted coverage of the candidates, the issues, and the events that are steering us to Election Day. Follow the campaigns and watch the town halls, rallies, and more live as they happen on C-SPAN. Then dig even deeper and search the candidates' positions over the years using C-SPAN's online archive with more than 250,000 hours of video. Get an unfiltered view of politics with C-SPAN's Campaign 2020 on the C-SPAN television networks, on the C-SPAN app, or online at cspan.org. All brought to you as a public service by your television provider. Make up your own mind with C-SPAN's Campaign 2020. And now related to this is something that I see among libertarians. Not as much these days, but one thing that divides libertarians is the subject of religion. Some libertarians are religious and some are non-religious. And one of the things that was great about Ron Paul was he was, when he was a presidential candidate, a unifier. He was a genuine unifier. He took people who were very different from each other and he brought us all together. And like some of the people today who claim they don't like me, liked me just fine 8 years ago when we were all working together. You know, and I miss those days. And, you know, some of those people, I still like them. You know, they still seem pretty good to me, but apparently I've disappointed them in some way or whatever. But he was a unifier. We don't have that point of unity anymore. And so there's a lot of hostility and nastiness. And I see among some of the non-religious libertarians, some people who say, well, look, I like Walter Block. You know, I'm not religious at all. I mean, Walter will even say, I think it's ridiculous. But at the same time, people whom I respect very, very greatly in a lot of areas are religious. And so I'm going to, you know, maybe there's something that I just don't see here, but I'm certainly not going to ridicule them. And I do see some of that among libertarians, that we're going to ridicule religion because we just hate all authority. Libertarianism is not about hating authority. It's about non-aggression. If you hate authority, that's a separate matter for you to deal with on your own. But like if I'm the president of the chess club, I am in a position of authority in that organization. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's voluntarily recognized, there's nothing wrong with authority per se. Well, in particular, you get people who just are just downright nasty about particularly Christianity, but I suppose probably not just Christianity, but mostly Christianity. We all know that. And they're just, some of the things they say and do are just vile. And because they say, well, look, these people are being irrational. Like they're not even entitled to my sympathy. They're not entitled to being treated nicely. I'm going to crap all over them. And I get that you may disagree with Christianity. That's fine. We can talk about that. But let's talk like human beings. That's the thing that makes us human beings, is our ability to reason. Let's talk to each other about things. If your first instinct is, I don't like this aspect of that person, so I'm going to humiliate him and defile what he loves, then you are a horrible person. And I see that in a lot of areas of society, not just among libertarians, but in some forms of music and entertainment throughout the culture. The way I look at it is this. We're all trying to make our way through this world and figure out why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. And I think we should go easy on each other as we try to figure that out. And everybody listening to me holds something sacred. Yeah, maybe you're not religious. I guarantee you, you hold something sacred. Maybe you hold the memory of your grandfather, your deceased grandfather, sacred. Okay? You loved your grandfather. Now, if I went around and humiliated you with, you know, just the most vile language and imagery or art or entertainment that whose entire purpose was to defile his memory, the way some cultural artifacts have had the purpose of defiling what Christians hold sacred, I guarantee you would speak up in protest. You would say, why are you defiling the memory of somebody I hold dear? And I could come back and have just the same arguments you have against Christianity. I could say, I think your grandfather was a bum. I think it's totally irrational for you to hold him in this regard. And so, yeah, I'm going to ridicule him. I bet you wouldn't like that. So I believe in the golden rule that if you wouldn't want me to defile something you hold to be sacred, then you should not defile what I hold to be sacred. Because people who are religious believers have the same feeling that you would have if there were whole areas of entertainment dedicated to defiling the memory of your deceased relative. It's exactly the same feeling that we have. You wouldn't want that. And if it would happen to you, you would say, I wouldn't want this to happen to anyone else. Okay? I'm not saying you have to like what other people hold sacred. But for heaven's sake, I mean, treat other people like human beings. As I say, they're just trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing in the world. Go easy on them. And I'll say this, I believe absolutely in free speech, and I am not a PC scold most of the time. However, at least for me, I think to myself, I don't want to defile what is sacred to somebody else. If I disagree with it, I'll talk about it, I'll write about it, I'll try to persuade them. But I don't need to humiliate them. I mean, what kind of a dirtbag would I have to be to want to humiliate them? So that's why, for example, I wouldn't go see the Book of Mormon. Now, I really have no sympathy. I have no theological sympathy for Mormonism whatsoever. I believe it to be false. But I'll talk to Mormons about that. But I don't feel like it would be a good use of my time to yuck it up at something that is designed to ridicule and humiliate them. Now, and you may say, oh, but comedy should be able to do whatever it wants. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be censored. I agree. But I'm just saying I personally am not going to go because I just think the golden rule, would I want somebody yucking it up at something that makes me look foolish? You know, it's just courtesy. It's a spontaneous act of courtesy toward countless strangers you've never met not to do things like that. So that would also be a message that I would have, not just to libertarians, but to anybody. Go easy on other people. Maybe the things they hold sacred seem bizarre and unreasonable to you, but maybe what you hold sacred seems bizarre and unreasonable to them. Let's just treat each other like human beings. Can that be so hard? Can that really be so hard? And I will try to do better myself. Now, I'm not going to stop having fun at the expense of people who are nasty to me, because that is fun, and I'm going to have some fun. But it will never be outright nasty. Like, for example, there are a couple of things that I look back that I wish I hadn't done. Now, I'll give you just one example right now, but I have others. There is a guy, I don't know if I should say his name, because if I say it, I'm going to make the situation worse. But a couple of years ago, I called him mentally ill, which I've been using as a term of derision. And I don't do that anymore because I do believe that mental illness matters and people struggle with it. And I personally, it's not saying I believe in censorship. I'm just saying that the way I want to live my life is I don't want to ridicule, at least be perceived as ridiculing mental illness or people with mental illness or making light of mental illness. It's just not something I want to do. I don't want to make it the butt of a joke. And it turned out, well, the guy had struggled with mental illness. And I shouldn't have done that. You know, that is dehumanizing. Like, just for the sake of a cheap joke, I threw a low blow at that guy. Shouldn't do that. So, I don't know. I'm just sentimental today. I don't know why. I'd say the Super Bowl is making me sentimental. I didn't even watch it. So, I don't know what it is. But I was just jotting down things I wish were different about the libertarian movement and about the world. I can't make these things happen on my own, but at the very least, I'm going to try, through being the best example I can, to make at least a small change. So that's that. I don't really have anything else to say other than if you enjoy and appreciate what I do here, I would be most grateful if you join me in my Supporting Listeners program because you get to join my secret group where we have fun conversations and you get a lot of other goodies as well, including transcripts of all the interviews I do and a lot of other things, books and courses and lots of fun stuff. And if you're a Diamond member, I even mail you something in the mail every month, which is fun. So do please check that out for me at supportinglisteners.com, and I will see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.